Well, it's such a strange time to be alive in this world. Not too often do a generation has to go through a pandemic. And it's also a strange time in our country right now. We're seeing a lot of violence, a lot of riotings for injustice, many injustices. And we certainly are in prayer for peace, and we're in prayer for healing. So how do we approach all these things on Pentecost Sunday? Remember last week I said the disciples probably had this great plan about Jesus leading an army from heaven to take over because he had been raised from the dead, and then he disappears. And not only that, they had been basically in that upper room. They had gone to Galilee for a while, that cynical, and they'd been kind of quarantined in there. It says the doors were locked in the gospel. You know, they're all locked in there together and probably really ready for Jesus to do something, to fix everything. And then he disappears. And the last word he gives them is, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. So it's like being saying, I tell all of you, go back into quarantine and it'll be an indefinite period until we say it's over. Doesn't that make everyone really excited? Great, more quarantine, more shutting away, more lockdown, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we're all very tired of that. So the disciples probably had that same feeling. And they're waiting for this Holy Spirit. What does this mean? And Jesus had told them, if I don't go, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, can't come. Why is it important for the Spirit to come? Well, it does complete to a certain degree Jesus' redemption. Because when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, they lost that fellowship with God. In essence, they lost the dwelling of God's Spirit within. And Jesus, through his death and resurrection and ascension, then sends the Holy Spirit back to dwell within humanity. And so when we're baptized, God comes to dwell in us. Now, I don't know, did you feel like God was dwelling in you when you woke up this morning? Did you feel like God was dwelling in you when you're brushing your teeth or getting ready for the day? Did you feel like God was dwelling in you if you got angry today, or if you got impatient today, or if you got frustrated today? Some days I'm like, I know God's dwelling there, but he doesn't seem like he's too close right now. So what am I supposed to do? That's how we grow our faith. Because when God comes to indwell in us at our baptism, he doesn't force us to become like perfect people. He desires that because he loves us and wants us to grow for salvation. And so part of it is having to cooperate and be mindful of God's presence within us. Now today we have a sequence, and I talked about that ancient hymn, that ancient poem that in some liturgies of the church made a point. And what is the point? They wanted to express musically this idea that when we go from the first and second reading, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the book of Acts, to the gospel, that we're taking our history, our lived lives, that's revealed in essence in those first couple of readings, and we move to the word, the gospel. And the word, though it is set in history, the word is eternal. So it moves us, it reminds us liturgically that we're going from the living of our lives and the history of our lives to eternity. That is our goal, that is where we want to be, because that's where God calls us. That is what he has designed us to be, to live with him for all eternity. And so the sequence reminds us of that. But so often in our Christian lives, like the sequence, you know, that I said earlier, you sing the sequence on Pentecost Sunday and people are looking around like going, what's going on? This isn't right. What song is this? This is because they don't know it. They don't understand it. And the church has written several documents encouraging the sequence to be re-inaugurated, particularly on Easter and Pentecost. Also, there's some optional sequences for Corpus Christi and Our Lady of Sorrows that really trace their roots back into medieval times and part of the ancient role of the church, liturgy of the church. And so sometimes in our lives we're lost. Like, what's going on? I mean, I'm living my life, and then I'm trying to think about eternity and what God is calling me to do and how that all fits in. So this week, I was reading a little ditty in my Magnificat. This is a wonderful little resource if you use it. And it was about St. John Paul II. And it quoted from his encyclical, Dominum et Vivicantem, which paraphrased means the Lord, the giver of life. And the Holy Father writes, and keep in mind, this is, you know, these thoughts are 20 or 30 years old. He writes about Pentecost, and he says, in the midst of the problems, disappointments and hopes, desertions and returns in these times of ours, the church remains faithful to the mystery of her birth. Now think about that. Problems? Do we have any problems in the world? Disappointments and hopes? We've got a lot of those right now. Desertions and returns. These are current today. And we remember the mystery of our birth. And he continues, while it is an historical fact that the church came forth from the upper room on the day of Pentecost, in a certain sense, one can say that she has never left it. The church is always in the upper room that she bears in her heart. Do you live in the upper room? Now, when I say that, you might be thinking, oh no, I don't want to be stuck in a room anymore. But this room leads us from our lives to eternity. It is what we recognize as the indwelling of God within. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is Trinity. So the Spirit dwells within, but also so does the Father and so does the Son. Meaning that we're never abandoned. Jesus says, I will not leave you. Well, he's with us in the Holy Eucharist, but he's also with us in our souls by virtue of our baptism. And so the Holy Father, St. John Paul II, is saying, yes, the world has problems, et cetera, et cetera. The answer to those problems is to return to the upper room and discover something in your heart and soul that is significant. Does it matter? Does it matter that God lives within you? Think about that. Think about that when you do many things, the simple things and the complex things. Think about that when you're tempted. Think about that when things are going well. God dwells within. So I would like to tell you a story about one of my favorite saints. Her name was Elizabeth Cadiz. She was born in 1880 in Dijon, France. And I don't speak French, but her works have been translated into English. And Elizabeth was born, and early on in her life, she had one sister. Her father was killed, and it was kind of a tragedy when she was about 9 years old. But their family was provided for. They were not incredibly well off, but they were taken care of. And so Elizabeth flourished in French society. She learned how to play the piano. She learned how to sing. She could tell a story. She could tell a joke. And she became very popular. When Elizabeth was 16 years old, she got a piece of a book, a manuscript, that was St. Therese's Story of a Soul. And she read it, and her life was changed. Now think about that. 16 years old in 1896, she read something that changed her life. How many of you have read something at 16 that changed your life? And she read about Therese talking about God living within and the Holy Spirit coming within and admired Therese's relationship with Jesus Christ. And Elizabeth decided that she desired that for herself. And so she began to study and pray. She always practiced her faith well, but she took it more seriously. And to the point when she was 18, she asked her mother if she could become a nun. And her mother was very much against it. She said, no, no, no. Elizabeth, you're far too beautiful. You have far too many suitors. You're far too talented to waste your life on being stuck in a convent. No, I won't allow it. And so Elizabeth didn't say much. She listened to her mom, and she continued on. In fact, she continued to go to some parties. Everyone loved Elizabeth. Suitors came knocking at the door, seeing if they could perhaps court her or get to know her better. She told great jokes. People loved to hear her sing. She had a great voice. But Elizabeth knew interiorly all along that she wanted something more, because God's Spirit was waking up in her soul in a significant way, to the point that when she was 21, she decided she would enter the convent against her mother's wishes. Now, you all, most of you are around that age. Think about that decision. You read a book, and somehow you're ready to go join a convent. That's significant. But Elizabeth was filled with joy. That's one thing everyone remarked about her. She had a great joy. And when she got into the convent, her joy increased. And one of the things Elizabeth said was she discovered God in a very unique place, that she fell so deeply in love with God in a very unique role. And this is very important. Elizabeth loved prayer. I mean, she loved prayer. And you would think, oh, she's a nun. When she goes to pray in the convent, of course that's when she's gonna fall in love with God. When she's doing her adoration, when she's at Mass. Well, those things were important to her. But the place she found God, where she really, really fell in love, was doing the laundry. She had to do the laundry for the sisters. Everyone would think, what a thankless job, this beautiful woman in a habit having to do the laundry. And she's full of joy. No one could understand it. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. What are the struggles you're having right now? What are the challenges you have right now? When the disciples were sent out, Jesus says, I send you out. That Holy Spirit filled their hearts and their souls and sent them out into Jerusalem. And that world they were going out into wasn't peaceful. Remember, they had just crucified Jesus. They would be willing to crucify these disciples. There were riots. There were uprisings. There were skirmishes all over the Roman Empire at that time. It wasn't a peaceful world that they were in. You know, it's very much like our world today. And yet they felt inspired to go out and share the good news, because they never left the upper room in their hearts. They knew God dwelled within them. And that's the same effect that it had for Elizabeth, who took the name Elizabeth of the Trinity. And Pope Francis said, she will be lifted up to the altars now Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, because she recognized that the Trinity dwelt within her. God dwells within you as well. That's significant. And it's not just when you come to church. It's when you do the laundry. It's when you brush your teeth. It's when you go to bed and when you get up. It's when you are hanging out with your friends. It's when you're reading, when you're walking, when you're driving, especially when you're driving. Come to get to know God when you're driving. He's always there because he loves you. And you're firmly rooted in that love. We just have to wake up to that love. We have to wake up and be acknowledging of God's presence in prayer, in reading, and practicing virtue. Are you acknowledging God's presence with your neighbor when you're starting to growl at him or her? Are you acknowledging God's presence when things don't go your way? Or when you feel overwhelmed? God is there. And for Elizabeth of the Trinity, she discovered that, and it transformed her life. And that same Holy Spirit is available for all of us to transform our lives. Now, he's not calling all of us to the convent or the priesthood. He's calling us to different roles. But whatever role he's called you to, he will meet you there, and you will know his love if you simply awaken to it. That's the gift of Pentecost. St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, about a year into the convent, began to get sick. She began to vomit a lot. She began to lose weight. She became emaciated. Some of her skin color changed. We believe what she had was Addison's disease, an adrenal gland issue, that now is treatable, but at her time it wasn't. And for 5 years, she suffered with this, and every year she would get more and more gaunt. But every year, those that knew her said, Elizabeth of the Trinity became more joyful and more peaceful and more attractive to be around. If you look at the pictures of her just months before her death, she is just whittled to nothing physically, but in her face is such a joy. It is transforming. That's the God we serve. Not available to some thousands of years ago, available in 1906 and available in 2020. It hasn't changed. And because of that, when we go out into the world, we can be different because God goes with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. Elizabeth said, I see in my suffering my great unification with Jesus Christ. She knew the Lord so well and was so close to him. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. She had everything she wanted. It was a beautiful testimony, and she's a great saint. So I just encourage you, on this Feast of Pentecost, don't be like the rest of the world. Let the Holy Spirit transform your life. Simply awaken to the presence of God within by virtue of your baptism. Awaken to the presence of God everywhere. And awaken to his desire to lead you to joy, to lead you through that sequence of your life to eternity, which is the goal. Some people said that Elizabeth of the Trinity lived heaven on earth when she was suffering. Wouldn't that be a great thing? To already believe that we're in heaven while we live the rest of our lives. We'd have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. But we journey together and we hope. Let us give thanks to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, for the gift of our baptism, and let us pray that this Feast of Pentecost will make a difference in the way we move toward the Lord and grow in our faith.